tell everybody all the time that Jesus Christ was born and all the implications of that wonderful, wonderful happening. Let's look here in the first chapter of John. This is something we ought to pay attention to. Hear these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men.
And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John.
The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe.
He was not by the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He came unto his own, and his own received him not.
As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Lord, let your grace and truth be on display this day in this place. You are welcome here, and we ask that you would open our eyes that we might see. You might shine yourself. You are the light of the world, and we need to be able to see, Lord. Open our eyes. Help us to get it. Help us to get you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. And we worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated.
We're worshiping, Pastor. Worshiping.
Lost in worship.
That's lost in worship. What a great place to be lost in worship, right?
Amen.
Emmanuel, our God, is with us. And if God is with us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that riseth against us in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. God is with us. There are so many things that we believe, so many things that we understand that are so difficult in the natural to even comprehend. If God doesn't make it real to us, if God doesn't show us what we need to know, if God doesn't help us, we just can't get it. And that's kind of like with the scripture that we're going to discuss today. If God doesn't open our eyes, if he doesn't take off the blinders, we can't see this truth. So, Father, we're just here today asking that you would help us to see your truth. Help us to hear your word. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to know who you are and whose we are. Help us, because without you we can do nothing, but we don't have to be without you this day. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Help us this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're starting a long series in John. John. And we're going to start the very first verse of the Gospel of John, the beloved disciple, John, the one that was leaning on Christ's breast at the Last Supper, John, the son of thunder, John, just an amazing guy who by the end of his life is considered probably the only disciple who could have died a natural death. John, the one who had been on the Isle of Patmos and gives us the book of Revelation by relaying what the Spirit of God spoke to him about the risen Jesus. This John, he does his gospel differently than the other three gospels, the synoptic seeing together. Matthew, Mark, and Luke look at things differently than John. John has the benefit that he was right there, and he's now, after the others have been written, looking, and he decides to tell us some things that he wants to help us to believe. He wants us to help us to understand, us to grasp this truth. And so the great challenge is that he's got a difficult way to start. Maybe it's not so difficult. Most seem to want to start at the birth narrative. Jesus was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life. But John says, no, we need to go, if you really want to understand this, we need to go further back. In the beginning, before everything, before anything, close your eyes for a minute. If you close your eyes for a minute, can you imagine nothing? Nothing at all. There's nothing. It's before anything was that was. There's nothing. In the beginning, you can open your eyes. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. The Word. So there's this Word, and the Word was with God. He's with the Father. Word there in the beginning, before time was, right in the beginning, at the start of everything, in eternity, there is the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So as we all scratch our heads together, what an amazing statement. What an amazing statement. There's this being that was with God and was God. Distinct, but one with God. And it makes you think, I mean, is he talking about two people? Well, no, this is John. John, who had been an observant Jew. John, who was one that believed something that's really important. Back in Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. In Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter, there's a very famous saying for even Jews today still quote this passage as something that they believe. Hear, O Israel. By the way, this is one of our memory verses, but I won't pick on any of the guys today. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And by the way, guys, you better teach these kids these words. That's what God is calling us to do. So back in John again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're talking about one being with some distinctive ways. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. We need to understand that this Word was the creator, the sustainer of all things, everything. Everything. There was nothing that was made. Well, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus created it all. He is the Word. He is the Word. This next statement is interesting. In him was life. He had life in himself. He was living. He had life. And the life that he had is the light of men. Without the light of Jesus, we are in darkness. And he had light from the very beginning. He is light. In fact, he goes on later to say, I am the light of the world. If you see, it is because Jesus has provided light for you. If you understand, it's because Jesus has provided understanding for you. He is the creator. He is the Word that was with God and was God. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness. What an amazing thing. Have you ever been in a dark room and then lit a flashlight? The darkness can't handle the light. On a little bit of a side note, you are to let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works. In the middle of the darkness of people that are all around you, you need to let your light shine. You need to allow yourself to be used in such a way that you really are light. And as I've said in the past, you need to watch out what kind of light you are. You know, you could be a green light and everything is go, go, go. And everybody around you sees this beauteous light that has come from Jesus Christ. When you know him, you have the light of life. You could be a yellow light. A little bit of caution there because you're on the edge. So many of us live our lives on the edge. So many of us live our lives in such a way that we're not quite what we should be. We're not quite as helpful as we should be. We're about proving a point. We're about doing it our way. We're about not sure that we really believe. Even though we know that he wants us to believe, we're just not sure. We're a caution light. We look down on other people. We don't have the love that we should have. We are not kind. We don't have the things that we need to be the ones that can be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We have a caution light going on in our life because we say we know Jesus Christ. We say, Lord, Lord, but sometimes you wonder, are we really going to make it in? Are we really going to be able to go to heaven? Because we are not displaying the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of those that know Jesus as Lord and are allowing him to cultivate real life in our life. But some of us are just a stoplight. We're a red light. We just need to stop and repent. Stop and turn around. Stop and be different than we are. There's light out there, and we need to make sure that we're the right kind of light, that we are getting our light from God. Sometimes it helps if someone will just tell us that we need to repent, as what happened here in verse 6. There was a man whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Oh, we're to be people that when we speak, other people believe Jesus. Because of the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the way that we behave, people believe that there is a God and that he is Jesus. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The only true light is Jesus Christ. The only one that really reveals anything. So many people are just seeking after so many different ways of understanding, so many different things out there, trying to get answers. Your answer is right here. It's right here in the Word. There's an answer there for you. There are principles there that will make you to be able to understand what to do now. That true light, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Wow. What would it be like for someone who had made something very special and helped everyone, and he would come to this place and think that he would be celebrated, that everybody would get it, and that everybody would be just so happy that he was here, and that they would revere him, and that they would honor him, and that they would just say, yay, he's come. But that wasn't the experience of Jesus. Jesus was born. He God himself, the Word, took on flesh and identified so much with humans that he was born virgin, came out of a woman's womb to be revealed to the world. And he was revealed to the world as one who would do great and mighty things, one who was a savior, one who was Emmanuel, God with us, one who came to help us, one who came to serve and not be served, one who lived this life. What an incredible thing it was that his public announcement of ministry, the first time he does the miraculous in such a way that it's written here in the Word of God is to make a party good. He made water into wine. He helped where someone needed help. He changed something, and he did something so miraculous, and only those that knew him really knew what was going on. But he didn't end it there, of course. He healed the deaf. He allowed them to hear. Are you hearing today? He healed the lame so that they might walk again. Are you able to move today? He even caused the blind to see. Wow. Imagine that. You couldn't see, and then you could see. But he raised the dead. The little boy's coffin is being carried through, and everybody is mourning, and the mother is just feeling horrible, and she's crying, and he stops everything and raises the child. Lazarus, one whom he loved, one whom he cared for. He cared for that family. He loved Mary and Martha, because that was Lazarus' sisters. He loved them, and he spent time with them, and they supported him, and Lazarus dies, goes through the portal to death. And he comes along and speaks into a tomb and says, "Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." Out of the tomb. I could see the guy hopping now. He was just hopping. Why was he hopping? Because he was still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Some of us are still wrapped up in our grave clothes. We know that God has called us from death unto life, but we're still hopping. We're still hopping. And he has to say to those that were living, who thought they were living, unwrap him, loose him, let him go. We need to bring freedom. We're called to that because he is the light of the world. And he says, let them see. Let them be free. Unwrap him, unloose him, let him go. That's the one we're talking about today. That one who was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own. He came to his own. The people that he wanted to identify with. He came to his own. The ones that he created, he came to his own. The ones that he named, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But sometimes I just thank God for buts. You know? But too many of us are just sitting on our butts, and we're not getting this butt. We're not getting what the implications of this are. As many as received him, welcomed him, took him in, allowed him to rule, rest, and abide in them. As many as received him, who accepted him as Lord and Savior, as many as received him, who believed that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as many as received him, who knew that this was God in the flesh, as many as received him, who are willing to obey him, to demonstrate that they loved him and that he loved them, as many as received him, who would humble themselves under the mighty hand of God so they would be exalted in due time, as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Don't you think it wonderful that we can identify as sons of God? I'm looking at kings and priests. I'm looking at royalty. Sometimes I just look out and I just feel like I should at least give a little half bow because I'm standing in the presence of royalty. I'm standing in the presence of those who are called by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to do his commission, to do his work, to do the work that they have been called to do specifically by him, those who he wants to speak to so that they can speak to the whole world and that the whole world through them might see the very glory of God. Glory to God because he's worthy. Glory to God through you, in you. You are. He gave them the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe in his reality? Do you believe in his character? Do you believe in who he is? Do you believe him? How would I believe? How can I believe? By the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. You want to believe? Look into the word of God. You believe the word of God. Let that word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. By the way, community is important. We need to teach each other. We need to love each other. Sometimes I need to be reminded that God is God and I am not. Sometimes I need to be reminded that I'm not alone. Sometimes I need to be reminded that this is not all about me, but all about him. And because it's all about him, what's all about me, if it's about him, will be blessed. Gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. It's not because of the family line that you're in. You know, it's not your family line. It's not because of your ethnicity. It's not because of anything like that. It's not because of your blood, nor the will of the flesh. It isn't a decision of a father or a husband or a parent. It's not that. No, not the will of man, but the will of God. Do you believe that a sovereign God has you here by his will? Do you believe in the sovereignty of God? Do you believe that he's got everything under control? Do you believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him? Do you believe that God has got you? Even right now, in the challenging situation that you find yourself in, with disappointments and hurts and the dynamics of the life that you live, do you believe that God has got you? Do you believe that there's a future and a hope? Do you believe that? We ought to believe that. Look how far he has brought us. Have you forgotten where you came from? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He gets you. He gets you more than you realize. It is sometimes reassuring and sometimes scary when someone gets you. When they can just look at you and say, no matter what you're saying, I understand. I know you. I know you better than you know you. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only, the unique, the set apart, the different, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Today, can you believe that fantastic, amazing truth? Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in him. He's come for us. He's come for us. He's identified with us. And he's called us to be with him throughout eternity where he came from. Will you pray with me? You might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing Jesus to die on the cross so that my sin would be paid for. I thank you that Jesus rose again to demonstrate that he truly is God. I don't understand it all, but with increasing conviction, I believe it. Help me to live now in line with your truth. Help me to live now a new person in Christ. Help me to live now in the light. Chase away the darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is working in your life today, and you want to acknowledge that this altar is open to you, In a few moments, we're going to take communion. We call it communion. We call it the Lord's Supper. We call it so many different things. Actually, not so many different things. We call it those two things. In taking the Lord's Supper, in sharing this communion, what we're saying is really important. And you need to understand that. You need to understand that this is a bold declaration that you actually believe that the Word of God was made flesh, that He had a body, He lived a life on earth 100% human. And that as that human, He was able to be a proper sacrifice for us to satisfy the wrath of God. That you understand that the wrath of God is what we were due. We were due that. That was what we're the part of the family of Adam, and all of us were doomed. First by the line that we were in, and then by our own actions, because all of us that have sinned fall short of the glory of God, and anyone that falls short. So we're saying that we believe that, and that He is our Savior. But not only is He our Savior, we take the juice and say that He is our God. That His blood was shed and He died, but 3 days later He got up. And today, He's again with the Father. And you can't take this lightly. Don't do that. Don't fool yourself. Now do take it. Because if you don't have it right, you can get it right now. If you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you can get right now. And really, this is the time. Get right now. We're not promised tomorrow. But that's what we're saying when we do this. This is not an empty ritual. It's the body of Christ coming together with other brothers and sisters saying, we believe Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. So the altar is open to you, but as the guys are playing, I'm going to come around and share the elements. And then after the song, we will take them together.
I hear the